Blog Talk Radio. Mamas, sports fans, welcome to another fantastic edition of the Neek and Rude Show. Hey, we got a great show for you today. We're going to be breaking down the AFC North. This is probably the most informative football show you'll come across. This podcast comes to you. This is dedicated to the fans, done by the fans. My name is Rudy. You should know me by now. And then, of course, we have the world-renowned Neek in the house.
Yes, sir. Neek is in the house. But no. Anyway, I just want to give a big shout-out to wide receiver Cody Lattimore of the New York Giants. I did not know. I knew he played his ball at Indiana in college, IU. Big shout-out to IU. But I did not know he was a native Trotwood. From Trotwood, Ohio, and that's where we're actually doing our show from, Dayton, Ohio. But if you didn't know in the news, our city, our hometown, got hit with a massive tornado. I just want to send a shout-out to, like I said, to Cody Lattimore for taking time away from minicamp to fly back here to Dayton to help out his home city and help out passing out water and food to those, because we're going through a rough time right now. Never thought our city would ever get hit with a tornado here in Ohio, but we did. Tornado is actually an EF4. I don't know all the type of meteorology terms for that, what an EF4 is, but let's just put it like this. The tornado hit Trotwood, Ohio, touchdown for, it was on the ground for 40 minutes and did massive destruction. A lot of people lost their homes. Myself didn't have water or power for a week. Been staying in and out of hotels. So it's been a tough times, but it's good to see people to take a break from what they love to do to come back and help out their hometown. So I'm just want to send my shout out praises to Cody Lattimore for coming back, giving us hand, helping us out in the dire need of time.
Yeah. Also, with me being from the Trotwood community, Neek, and growing up in that community, it was a great point you brought up. I just wanted to take the time to thank a lot of the people that volunteered to help people out. I know when I was out, at least handing out waters and things like that, I ran into some of my old teammates from Trotwood Madison High School and also an old coach. So, we're going to keep this dating strong, but we're going to continue on with the show.
Yeah, not too much major football news going on this week. Rudy Rude and I were actually joking before we started the show. He said, "What kind of major news happened this past week?" Well, if you want to say it's major news, Richie Incognito. Yeah. Very interesting. Richie Incognito signed with the Oakland Raiders. And it's funny.
About the same guy that had the accusations of what, tearing up his grandma's house on top of everything else that he's done in the past.
Yeah, he's known for that Chris Farley off the field type behavior, John Belushi off the field type behavior, Animal House style. But let me stop messing around. But serious note, man.
Everything is Tony Mandarich.
Yeah, but on a serious note, when he's on the field, very productive, play with one of the nastiest mean streaks, strictly a mauler, will play beyond the whistle. I mean, yeah, he's 35 years old, so we'll see how much he has left in the tank.
Hey, he fits the Oakland Raider, style.
Yeah, the mystique. Yeah, the mystique. We're looking for that toughness. But, our general manager, Mike Mayock, came out and said this past week, a lot of people questioned, like, why did they sign him when they're trying to establish a culture or an identity?
That's the Oakland Raiders culture. And Richie Incognito's case is not speed, but it's the same type of thing. You know what I mean? It's, again, they want to get the most physically dominating, meanest, nastiest. Who cares if you get a little trouble off the field? Cause sometimes it's hard to turn off the off switch. You just want to do football at times when maybe it's not time to do football, that kind of guy.
Yeah, but like Mike Mayock said, you can't sign all choir boys, especially when you're playing the game of football, trying to build a 53-man roster.
Gotta be nasty.
Gotta be nasty.
Gotta be nasty in them pits.
Yeah, the pits. But with that being said, this show tonight, we're focused on the AFC North. We're just going to kind of go through all four teams. I'm going to talk about,
we're going to talk about the Browns, Nick. The Browns.
Yeah, we're talking about last year, Brown. But actually, the future looks bright for these Browns this upcoming season. But like I said, just going to touch on all four teams in this division, what went right for these teams last year and what went wrong. Some of the players got dropped off who they had to part ways with because they couldn't stay in their ass on the field last year because they were effing up.
Neat.
Go Browns! All right, so let's start this division off with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Meow.
And it's funny because every year this team always has a great draft. They do. They always do good in the draft. A-plus draft every year. But it just seems like every year this team, they start off good, but they just injuries start happening. Players start acting up off the field. And it's just always a downfall towards the end of the season. So every year you look at the Bengals, say, what was the Bengals record last year? 9-7. What was the year before that? 8-8. What was before that? 7-9.
Keep going down, buddy. Keep going down. Keep guessing. Price is right here.
Yeah, but this past season they were 6-10. This team was averaging 23 points a game with one of the worst defenses in the league, 30th ranked defense.
Nick, their whole season was an injury. That's it.
Yeah, I know, but let me get to this. Andy Dalton played 11 games, actually wasn't too bad, 2,500 yards passing, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. My boy Joe Mixon, they talked about you bad in the media, but on the field, you balled out. 1,168 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns. Giovanni Bernard had 3 touchdowns, contributed as well. But at the skilled wide receiver position, A.J. Green, one of the best receivers in the game, only played 9 games, had that foot injury, still produced with average 15 yards a catch, 46 catches, 694 yards. My boy Tyler Boyd, I told you a couple years ago, Rudy. Yeah. Tyler Boyd, I told you, watch out for this kid. Had over 1,000 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns.
The only thing, all the receivers like John Ross and others that they've drafted in the past years, nobody stepped up to fill that void like Boyd. But, you know, now that they've got Green and such and Dalton coming back, we'll see what this team can do.
But it's funny, man, because when we talked about John Ross, this is a very interesting stat. So this guy played, actually started 10 games, had 21 catches, 210 yards.
21 catches? Dude, you could have had 21 catches.
Yeah, so it's funny when you hear 21 catches, 210 yards. You're like, damn, that's it? 10 yards a catch? Yeah, that's pretty much it. But here's the shocker.
How many touchdowns did he have, though?
7 touchdowns.
What?
Yeah.
I think he'll probably be the perfect Oakland Raider. I mean, he's been busty, but
yeah, but
he's been a little too busty.
But his touchdowns came in the end zone. I mean, the red zone, 3-yard touchdown here.
Everybody's touchdowns coming in the end zone.
Yeah, I know. But 3-yard touchdown catch, 1-yard touchdown catch, screen, bubble. That's basically what's going on with John Ross last season. It's funny because they drafted this kid in the first round, top 10. Thinking this kid was going to stretch the field, go deep, that home run threat.
He was a workout warrior.
Yeah, but Drew, 7 touchdowns in the red zone.
7 touchdowns, you can't argue with that, but that's the absence of a A.J. Green.
Yeah, but the weakness for this team was that offensive line. I told a lot of my friends in Cincinnati, they said, Neek, so what you think about this kid we got from the Giant, Bobby Hart? I said, Bobby Hart? Say it one more time. Bobby Hart.
Say it with your chest.
Bobby Hart, his play on the field has no heart. This kid is the false start king. Always starting off sides because he knows he's going to get beat. He can't win one-on-one battles. So he's like, all right, let me cheat real quick. Damn, they flagged me again. Damn it. This is frustrating because this kid should not be starting, but he's actually Bengals starting right tackle. But the Bengals did bring in Cordy Glenn, one of the best left tackles in the game. They needed help over there. They also brought in Jonah Williams. Most people thought he was going to start the right tackle position. I did as well, but they're going to move him into the right guard position. But on that defense line, a lot of talent. Geno Atkins, 10 sacks. My boy Billings out of Baylor, he had 2.5 sacks, finally healthy last season. Carlos Dunlap, 8 sacks. Jordan Willis had a sack. And Sam Hubbard. Sam Hubbard came out of nowhere with 6 sacks. Linebacker position, this is where the weakness is. I mean, Nick Vigil, 84 tackles, but the key to this group is Preston Brown. Preston Brown balled out in Buffalo, couldn't stay healthy last year. Actually, was his first injury season that he's had in his professional career. And Jordan Evans was decent. Secondary, I love William Jackson. I like Dre Kirkpatrick, but here's the problem, Root. When you have two starting corners, You got to get your hand on the ball and you got to make some plays. Guess what, Root? Both these corners had zero interceptions. That's pretty bad, man. When William Jackson started the left cornerback spot, zero picks. Trey Kirkpatrick at the other spot, zero picks. Come on, man. That's pretty bad.
You know, I like them corners that are like blankets. They going to cover you, period. That's their whole point. That's their purpose. That's what they're there for. So that's what they're going to do. It ain't like my kids. They kick off their blankets in the middle of the night and say it's hot. No, I need a corner that ain't going to get kicked off.
Okay.
You got to cover.
Let me ask you this, Root. So you like your corners like that. What about both of your safeties? Do you want both of your safeties to lead the team in tackles?
No.
Yeah, and that's what Sean Williams and Jesse Bates did. Sean Williams, 110 tackles. Jesse Bates, 111 tackles. So if you ask me, those two guys had over 110 tackles?
So how the other nine guys on the field can't make no damn tackles? That's what I'd ask myself.
No, the question I want to ask is, where's the linebackers? That's why I said this is the weak spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's nine guys in front of these safeties. They're back maybe 10, 15 yards back. So that if anybody gets back to them, they don't let them score a touchdown. They don't need to be making the majority of your damn tackles. That means your defense is struggling, and then we know about the problems the Bengals had. But, Neek, we do got to move on to the best team in this division.
Yeah, and so the final note is this. Bengals fans, you guys have talent. You guys have a shot. You just got to stay healthy. Andy Dalton, don't turn the ball over. Bengals will have a decent season. All right, on to the Browns.
No, not quite yet, man. A couple things I want to touch on with the Bengals real quick. Don't forget that they got Jonah Williams, you know, in the first round, 11th overall, Drew Sample out of Washington at tight end. And then also Jermaine Pratt to be their linebacker of the future, possibly replacing the big loss they had in Vontaze Burfict. Now, also Ryan Finley was drafted in the fourth round, 104th overall by the Bengals. So we'll see if he can at any point either spell Andy Dalton and take over for Driscoll as the backup and really take hold of that number two spot, or if, you know, Dalton will be the guy for years to come of mediocrity in Cincinnati. But I did also want to mention that the Bengals also signed Brad Kayes and then guard John Miller. And, of course, I mentioned Vontaze Burfict. Now let's get down to these Browns. Here we go, Brownies. Hey, you know, the Browns, what can I say about the 2018 season other than beer coolers? Beer coolers. That's what happened as Baker Mayfield had his first start as an NFL professional on a Monday night game against the New York Jets. And Sam Darnold, who was, third overall pick? He was dueling against him. And it went Baker's way. And the Browns, who hadn't won a game in over a season, going 0-16 in 2017, came back in Baker Mayfield's, not his first start, but his first game that he played in or played any significant time, and got their first win in a couple years. And after that, it was like a kind of like a storybook. There were some highs and there were some lows, but I'll tell you one stat that can't be argued with was 27 touchdowns from Baker Mayfield, which was an NFL rookie record of all time. The Browns went 8-7-1. That one at the end was a tie with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the opening game. How that would have changed the fortunes of the season, possibly if penalties weren't called, like roughing the passer with an aggressive Myles Garrett. You know, he got after it all year. How many sacks did he have last year? Was it 12 and a half? Yeah, so, I mean, this team, what did Michael Jordan say? Great all-time athlete. The sky is the roof. I mean, there's no limit for what this team can accomplish. Based off their performance last year, Baker Mayfield has pinpoint freaking accuracy. I mean, this team performed very well, but what I'm saying, one of the things that could have helped this team have an even better season, improve under 7-8-1, was that also, you know, again, we look at games like Pittsburgh, a tie. They basically had that game kind of in the bag. Not a mistake, you know, forced Roethlisberger into several turnovers that, again, helped the Browns to what should have been a win in the game. Look at the Raiders game. Same type of thing, up 28-14. There was a couple bad calls, like a first down call that was a first down by, you know, again, now the former running back and Carlos Hyde of the Browns. There was a Bucks game, which they battled back. all close games early in the season that they lost. This team, what I'm getting at is this team played very well. And as Baker Mayfield probably would have said himself, they were very dangerous last year. I mean, they almost kept the Ravens out the playoffs last year, coming on at the end of the year, playing them in the last game. And that game came down to a late game Baker Mayfield interception. That's where the Brett Favre comparisons come in. He's a gunslinger, like Roland Deschain. Go read a book if you don't know what I'm talking about, the gunslinger. The Browns have an NFL future and franchise right now that any team, probably at least 30 other teams in the NFL would say, yeah, they got a lot of talent, and we would like to emulate that. So that's almost all I have to say about the Browns, but that's not how I get down. I want to be a little bit more informative than emotional. You know, we did also draft Greedy Williams in the second round. We drafted Sione Taki-Taki out of BYU in the third round. And then also Sheldrick Redwine from the U, like you like to say, Neek. I think he might be a euthanizer back there. I've seen some clips of him on YouTube, man. He was laying the wood to people. I mean, he was acting like he was a lumberjack out there. Mac Wilson in the sixth round, good steal. David Blau has been impressive as an undrafted free agent, UFA, not UDF, out of Purdue. Don't forget Purdue upset, I think, your Ohio State Buckeyes, Nick, that was one of your alma maters. Also, some of the significant signs for the Browns, Eric Kush as an offensive lineman, Kendall Lamb as a utility offensive lineman, two guys that could see some time either as backups or potentially starting. Don't forget that right guard and right tackle are definitely still up for grabs for the Browns, with likely Corbett and Hubbard locked in at those spots. Morgan Burnett, Sheldon Richardson, some of the other significant signings. Kareem Hunt, don't forget about that, took place early in free agency. And then also Jalen Strong, tight end Demetrius Harris, formerly of the Chiefs. You know how, Dorsey likes his guys. Eric Murray will also compete at safety, and Adarius Taylor. And, of course, we know about the two big trades for Beckham, for Vernon, from the Giants. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Giants. The Browns, it's time.
Let me say this, man. Great breakdown of your team. I appreciate it. I really do. You did a great job. But when you watch Hard Knocks last season, the beginning of it, ain't nobody see none of this stuff coming. I mean, this team, let me tell you. Hold on. Stop.
Get back.
Let me speak my mind real quick. What they need to do with Hard Knocks, I'm okay with the beginning of the season, yeah, because it gets you hyped for the season. But they should come back at the end of the season and show fans where they are at, where this team is at. They should definitely do that. I'm telling you right now, the writers, the creator of Hard Knocks, listen to what Neek just said on the Neek and Rue show tonight. Come back, do a follow-up Hard Knocks show after the season ends. I would love to see that, because you know why? No Todd Haley. Where Todd Haley at? He got knocked off! What about Hugh Jackson? Hugh Jackson, where you at? Where you at? He got knocked off because he was a little too overrated. And then Tyrod Taylor, who couldn't even complete a pass in the preseason game, was struggling trying to get the ball to people because he don't know how to throw the ball. He like to do it, just run around back there like he don't dance with the stars. You know what happened to Tyrod Taylor? He got knocked off as well.
But he got $16 million.
Yeah, he stole $16 million.
Hey, but you being on the negative side with the Browns, let's go to break.
All right. Now, anyway, we got two teams to finish off this show. We're not at an hour tonight. We're a half an hour show tonight. I know some fans are like, why y'all doing half an hour?
That was the past.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, let's talk about these Baltimore Ravens. And this team actually were kind of surprising last season. Actually made to the playoffs, lost in a wild card game to the Chargers. They had the 13th ranked offense, second ranked defense. It's basically a tale of two halves of the season. I mean, you start out with Joe Captain Checkdown Flacco. I can't stand that dude because all he do is just check down. I mean, that's it. You know, he's making all this money just living off the check down passes every now and then.
Oh, he's going to be throwing it to Lindsey in Denver now.
Well, yeah, he's going to be throwing the Lindsey check down in Denver. Yeah. Well, it's mile high, so yeah. We'll see about that. So Lamar Jackson. A lot of people saying Lamar Jackson's kind of like the next Michael Vick. Actually, he showed out. I'm not going to lie. Those few games that he played, he started seven games. Threw for over 1,200 yards, six touchdowns and three interceptions, but actually was second on the team in rushing. 695 rush yards, 5 TDs. The bottom line is this. The NFL was not prepared. Defenses weren't prepared and ready for this Lamar Jackson. So he got it off.
Lamar Jackson phenomenon.
He got it off last season, the phenomenon of 2018. But fast forward to 2019, I'm going to tell you like this.
You think Michael Vick was a whole bunch better of a thrower?
Oh,
than,
yes. Yes, he is. So I'm going to tell you like this. 2019 defenses are smart. They're going to game plan for Lamar Jackson. They're going to dare this kid to throw the ball. Yes, the Ravens went out and drafted Marquise Hollywood Brown. But the question is, Marquise Hollywood Brown going to be running down the field wide open like, I'm open. Lamar, throw me the ball. Lamar's going to be like, oh, I see you open. My bad. Got to take off. Highlight, Sports Center, top 10. Watch me do this.
How you going to get that ball in North Hollywood? Thing, please, no pass.
Yeah, so like I said, this team is a physical ground, pound the ball, just control the clock offense. That's what they were the second half of the season. Got to the playoffs, San Diego Chargers like, look, we know what's coming. They coming with that draw. They coming with that counter. They coming with that dive. And you know what? Gus Edwards led the team in rushing 718 yards. Alex Collins got cut due to the rest, had 7 touchdowns, 411 yards. Receiver position, they lost a lot of talent here. John Brown led this team with 7 touchdowns, big play wide receiver, 42 catches, 715 yards. Actually, sorry about that, 5 touchdowns. Willie Snead, 62 catches, 651 yards and a touchdown. Michael Crabtree had hauled in 54 catches for 607 yards and 3 touchdowns. He is actually a free agent. John Brown went to the Buffalo Bills. And then Mark Andrews was a solid addition at the tight end position. Actually had 34 catches, 552 yards, 3 TDs. I love this offensive line. Big question is going to be coming at the left guard position. Let's see how Alex Lewis is going to do. Defensive line, we already know this team is all about that front 7. I mean, they still got pieces there. Brandon Williams, Chris Wormley of Michigan, me and Rudy Michigan fans, even though I hate to say it, I did go to Ohio State. Oh, I can't believe I said it, but I did. Michael Pierce, Tyus Bowser, Tim Williams, Matthew Judon still there, Kenny Young, and the other guy, Patrick. Oh, I'm just going to say Patrick O because I'm not going to butcher his name. Anusua. I'm just going to say Patrick O. Secondary, Jimmy Smith. Man, this kid, so much talent, getting a little long in the tooth, but 2 interceptions on the year. Marlon Humphrey, 2 picks. My boy, Tavon Young, best player in the secondary. Tony Jefferson, still a beast. Earl Thomas comes in replacing Eric Weddle. Question is, can he stay healthy?
All right.
But last but not least, let me say this before we move on to the Steelers, finish up the show with the Steelers. They lost a lot of heat on defense. And I'm telling you right now.
I'll tell you all about that. I mean, Terrell Suggs was one of the best players this franchise ever had. After Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, there's going to be Terrell Suggs. If there was a Mount Rushmore of the Baltimore Ravens, there would never be, or Cleveland fans would destroy it. There would be a picture of Terrell Suggs' ugly face. Also, Eric Weddle went his own way. Is it just me or does Terrell Suggs look like Barack, the thing off of Mortal Kombat? But anyway, the Ravens did sign free agents like Michael Floyd, Shane Ray, Seth Roberts, Mark Ingram, and then their big free agent signing was Earl Thomas, the former safety of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm in the draft. You know, we touched on it on previous shows, but Nick also mentioned it. Marquise Hollywood Brown, first round pick, 25th overall. I love the pick of Miles Boykin from Notre Dame in the 3rd round, 93rd overall. That was excellent. Even a Trace McSorley. He's another guy that will run around and not complete passes for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, man. I mean, come on, man. It's like a comedy show, man. They got enough of them little type of quarterbacks, the type of little guys. So anyway, let's finish off this division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers, very disappointing season, 9-6-1. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, 9-6-1, no playoffs. Disappointing. All right, Big Ben, not disappointing. Over 5,000 yards passing, 34 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Big Ben kills me, man. I mean, this dude kills me, man, because every game he always acting like he has a severe injury, and then he goes to the sideline. This is all for show, man. You know, this is part of acting right here.
Roethlisberger likes soap operas.
He does. He likes soap operas, man.
People out there, I want to have somebody answer that question for me next week. Give us a call if you'd like. Let us know if you think Ben Roethlisberger likes soap operas. You can call 845-241-9980 and let us know if Ben Roethlisberger likes soap operas.
Yeah, well, I guess so, man. But Nah, seriously though, man, because it just kills you, man. You know how Joe Buck or whoever's calling that Pittsburgh game, they're sitting there like, oh my God, Big Ben looks like he's favoring the left knee. He hobbles to the sideline. Oh, we're gonna have to get word on Big Ben. I don't know if he's gonna go in the second half of his injury. Looks gruesome. Guess what? Big Ben comes out, game winning touchdown, whatever. He's fine for next week. Or always question.
They say, oh, look at the heroic Ben Roethlisberger toughing through this injury. Man, everybody in pain, bro. It's an NFL game.
Yeah, and then it kills me because when the offseason kicks in, will Big Ben play another year? I think he's going to take this year off, this time off to figure out retirement, think about retirement. He's going to play next year, fool.
You know what the Steelers should do? They should keep extending him, but then when he gets to one of them years where he's like, I don't know if I want to come back next year, boss. I'm so tired. They should be like, you know what? You stay at home.
Right. But you know what? This team, you know, Le'Veon Bell decided to sit out the year due to the contract. James Conner stepped up, 973 yards, 12 touchdowns. Jalen Samuels back up at contributed with 256. But the receiver position, my main man, Juju, came out of nowhere with 111 receptions, over 1,400 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns.
Look at Juju be becoming a man.
Yeah, but too bad his sidekick, Antonio Brown, is gone. He's going to be in Oakland.
Juju got his driver's license and everything.
But this is a big season, upcoming season for James Washington. Only had 16 catches last year, 217 yards. Ryan Switzer wasn't too bad in the slot, 36 catches, 253 yards and a touchdown. But my boy Vance McDonald, the tight end, Jesse James, who? Yeah, he had 50 catches, 610 yards, 4 touchdowns. The strength of this team is the offensive line, the defensive line. The only issue I have, question mark, Rudy's going to touch in on a little bit, is the right tackle position. They did lose Marcus Gilbert to the Arizona Cardinals. Defense line still intact, still solid. Cam Hayward, 8 sacks. Bud Dupree need to step it up, man. Only 5.5 sacks on the season. And then that secondary, Joe Hayden. What? Joe Hayden stayed healthy for the whole season? Yeah, he missed one game, but that's pretty much full season for Joe Hayden. 2 interceptions, but the secondary, the young kids stepped up, balled out. Terrell Edmonds, 78 tackles. Sean Davis, 80 tackles and an interception.
Now it's time to talk about the Steelers' offseason moves and acquisitions. Nick, we may have to end the show just a little bit early because very much like the Bengals, the Steelers don't really do a lot in free agency. You know, they would be good to re-sign a few guys. I believe they might have re-signed Pouncey this offseason, you know, their Pro Bowl quality center. But other than that, as far as acquisitions bringing in new talent, I mean, there wasn't much, man. Got Mark Barron, you know, he's been kind of a hybrid, you know, linebacker throughout his career. They did sign him, and they also signed the former Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Dante Moncrief. The draft, I mean, it was good to the Steelers. I think they got players that were just Steeler-esque. Like, you know, certain franchises, again, like the Raiders, they have a certain type of mystique to them. Steelers do have that same kind of quality, you know, being, I don't know, you say blue collar, just being tough. You know, a guy like Devin Bush, 10th overall, I mean, at the time I thought it was high for him, but I mean, he's a perfect guy for Pittsburgh, you know, and everything they represent. They did trade up for that acquisition. Nick, I wanted to touch on this, so I'm glad we got a couple minutes. Justin Lane, do you know the story of Justin Lane, who was a third-round pick, 83rd overall, from Michigan State, the cornerback? Well, Justin Lane's dad played for the Browns. And one of the things that Justin Lane wanted was to, you know, play for the Browns. And the Browns, you know, they pretty much passed on Justin Lane in the draft. You know, you talk about that third-round range. I guess that was around the time that they got, Taki Taki. So you could say that they passed on him. I thought that the Browns might be targeting Lane in the draft, but you know, he's kind of heartbroken to you know, not be drafted by the Browns. But then you know, it seemed like it worked out for him because he's a Steeler, and they painted everything around the house Steelers colors. So I don't know if we let one go there, but one of the picks that I loved, absolutely loved for the Steelers was in the 5th round, drafting Zach Gentry, who's a big tight end with sure hands. Then we all know about the whole, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown sweepstakes and drama that happened. And, you know, Ben loves his soap opera. So,
yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for these Steelers. I mean, I think this might be one of the best seasons we will see out of Mike Tomlin from a coaching perspective, because a lot of people and analysts, fans, are counting Steelers out. I'm not. because I think this team is going to rally.
They like roaches, bro.
Yeah, they're going to rally around, get it together. They're going to play.
The fans going to be quiet when they like 3-3, but then they're going to reel off like 5 in a row. They be like, yeah, we're waving the tail. I'm like, man, you fair, bro.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I can't count this team out. Smash Mouth football coming the way this year. Some of these young guys going to have to step up, Eli Rogers. But on that note, fans, next week we'll be talking about the AFC South. Neek, Root, see you guys next week.
Go Browns.